fire and witches mixed as well as demons and angels. It was settled. I'd try my luck with the assassins. There has to be...
Run, Amelia!
He whipped around and landed a kick hard into what could only be an Umbra demon. I didn't see it go flying, but I heard a strange sound. If it was incorporeal, I wasn't sure how Wrath had made contact with it. He lashed out at another, and another. It was only when they collapsed that I understood the anomaly. Wrath's demon dagger severed their heads. Maybe holding the weapon allowed him to strike them too. As they died, they lost their invisibility. I wanted to run, but couldn't seem to move. I stared at the pale faces with deep black circles around their sunken eyes, and teeth carved to tiny points that pulled back from rotting black gums. They looked like corpses and smelled much the same. I couldn't decide if not knowing their true faces was better or worse.
Take the horns and leave.
Wrath dodged forward, struck. Heads rolled. He was violence made flesh. Watching him attack and maim demon after demon, I imagined he was invincible. He'd strike, parry, kick, and then heads would roll. Body parts went flying. Dark blood splattered. There was nothing that could stop him. Envy emerged from the deepest part of the shadows, his eyes glittering like emeralds.
Seize him!
He snapped his fingers once, and I just made out the shadowy forms of the Umbra demons as they swarmed in like a hive of vicious wasps. Wrath fought, thrashed, and managed to take out a few more, but it was no use. Even something as mighty as the demon of war couldn't hold back the tide of invisible bodies that kept coming for him. Not unless he unleashed his full magic. Strangely enough, not one of them so much as breathed in my direction. Eventually, they held Wrath in place. His power rumbled, rolled through the tunnels, but Envy only laughed as rocks rained down. I managed to dodge out of the way as a large piece crashed where I'd been standing a second before.
Go on. Use all of that might, brother. You'll bury your witch.
The grumbling deep within the earth ceased. Envy cut a glance my way, smiling.
Don't worry. It still has nothing to do with his feelings, pet. You are a means to an end. Isn't that right, brother?
If you do this, you'll be damning yourself too. Even held down, surrounded by enemies, Wrath didn't look cowed.
Is that what you really want? Maybe I like being damned.
Envy flicked imaginary dirt from his lapels.
Maybe you ought to remember what it's like, dear brother. To have something you covered taken away. Pity you didn't remember that I too am something to be feared. Allow me to remind you.
If it wasn't for the sickening wet thwack and Wrath's muffled groan, I might not have known something, aside from being surrounded by invisible mercenary demons, was wrong. I watched in silent horror as Envy's dagger sank deep into Wrath's groin, and he dragged it across his body, opening him from hip to hip. Guts spilled out as Wrath hunched over, his eyes wide.
Oh!
He coughed. Blood splattered across his lips. I stared, unblinking. I think I screamed. Sounds around me were replaced with a high-pitched keening noise in my head. My face got hot, then cold. Wrath's entire abdomen was flayed open. One second he was standing, fighting, and then... There was so much blood. I fell to my knees and retched. Envy laughed, the sound bouncing off the walls.
I've been wanting to do that for an age, brother. I cannot tell you how good it feels watching you bleed out.
He glanced over at me, his upper lip curling.
Watch closely, pet. This is how I treat family. Imagine what being my enemy is like. Do not think I've forgiven what you and your grandmother did to me.
He twisted the dagger, and Wrath coughed dark-colored blood. I forced myself to watch, to stand. I couldn't fall to pieces yet. The Umbra demons holding on to the Demon of War must have let go. Wrath slid to the ground, staring down at the brutality of his injury. Envy lifted his blade again, but I couldn't bear it. Stop! I choked on a scream as Envy ignored my pleas and stabbed him once more for good measure. He stepped back to survey the damage. Wrath struggled to look in my direction, but couldn't quite make it. He never struggled. I didn't think it was in his nature.
Please, Amelia,
he gasped, the sound raspy and labored. He was dying, truly dying. Something stirred in me. I rushed to his side, hands fumbling, and tried to stop the bleeding. It's all right. It's going to be all right. You just have to heal yourself. Once again, I had no spell, no magic to call upon to bind his wound together. I was too rattled to think clearly. I only had my two hands and the hope that he could heal himself quickly enough. He slowly turned to me, the light leaving his eyes before he met my pleading gaze. This couldn't be happening. I needed him. No! Now more than ever, he had to get up and be okay. I shook him a little. He was unnaturally still, pupils fixed. I knew what that meant and couldn't... He couldn't be dead. This stupid, arrogant demon was supposed to be immortal. Get up! He needed to heal. He just needed some time. I could hold his wound for a few more minutes. That's all he needed. A few minutes, I could do that. I could stay there until he stitched himself together again. I was still kneeling there, hands full of gore, when his body vanished from this realm. I stared at the wet blood on my palms. There was so much of it. Too much. No mortal would survive those injuries. Wrath had always healed himself instantaneously before. He was hurt, but not dead. Just like Lust when he'd been struck with Wrath's blade, he couldn't be dead. That was the point of immortality. But I'd seen life leave the demon's eyes. Lust hadn't looked like that. He'd still been breathing when he vanished back to hell. I suddenly couldn't breathe. Without him, I held out my hands. They were shaking. I glanced down and watched in a strange, detached manner as my whole body violently trembled. Seeing my sister's mutilated body had been horrible, but watching someone get eviscerated... I rubbed my hands down my skirts, but the blood wouldn't come off. I scrubbed and scrubbed and...
Enough of that.
Envy wrapped long fingers around my wrist, grinding the bones together. A little more pressure and he'd fracture something.
All of this unpleasantness could have been avoided if you'd have listened. You have no one to blame but yourself.
Will he live? Envy knelt beside me and pressed the flat side of his dagger beneath my chin. The blade was still slick with Wrath's blood.
You ought to pray to your goddess. He doesn't. Now give me the Horn of Hades, and I might consider ending you swiftly.
I dragged my gaze away from the spot of blood where Wrath had fallen. He'd fought for me. He put himself between his brother and me and paid for it. Anger suddenly swept in, cleared my mind of grief. I glared at Envy and shoved my hand into my skirt pocket. I quickly looped Vittoria's amulet over my head, finally bringing the Horn of Hades together. A whip-like crack split the silence as the devil's horns were reunited. Power surged through me.
Get out! Get out before I make you!
You're making a terrible mistake.
Envy didn't stagger back or run, but he did obey me.
I will not soon forget your disobedience, pet, and neither should you. It is no small thing to have a prince of hell for an enemy.
Come. He gathered his invisible assassins and left the dank tunnel. I waited until he had gone before I slumped to the ground. After the show of power, I couldn't bring myself to move. I pulled my knees to my chest. Things had gone spectacularly wrong, and this time I had no idea how to move forward. Wrath was gone. My family was in hiding, and winning against the princes of hell all by myself seemed more impossible than ever. Seeing Wrath ripped open from hip to hip rattled something in me. I'd thought he was invincible. So what chance did I really stand? I wanted to be brave and bold and smart and vanquish my enemies with cunning. Admitting I had much to learn felt like defeat. I had magic. I had the Horn of Hades. But no time to learn darker tricks to even the playing field. Nonna said she'd try to slow the gates of hell from opening. But who knows if she'd succeed before our time was up. Being a realist didn't mean I was a defeatist. Maybe things would be better if I stopped fighting and waited to see if the devil wanted to claim me. Or maybe, now that I had his horns, I should summon him, make a bargain of my own, and stop further destruction. My attention shifted back to where Wrath had fallen. I had a feeling I knew what he'd do, and I knew what Vittoria had chosen. But I still wasn't sure what I wanted. So I sat there, beside the drying blood of my worst enemy, and wept.
Chapter 44. Resurrection spells are part of both the dark arts and the forbidden, because they go against the natural order. If you attempt to steal back life, death will take its retribution elsewhere, balancing the scales. As above, so below. Notes from the DiCarlo Grimoire.
An hour later, I found myself outside the ruined palace. I had nowhere else to go that was safe, and hoped Wrath's magic was still somehow protecting the building. I'd made it into the lower level, and had just closed the door when a tiny spike of coolness grazed my neck. I went to ignore it. When I recalled what Nonna had said about being marked by a prince of hell, Wrath had given me a way to summon him. I dashed upstairs and pulled supplies out of an extra bag I'd packed days before. Black candles, a few animal bones from the restaurant, my own personal grimoire I'd started, and blood and bones! Without Wrath's dagger, I didn't have any gold, which was a main ingredient I needed to summon a demon from House Wrath. I paced around the room and cursed. For one bloody moment, I wished something would just go easily. I shoved the candles out of the way and sank onto my bed, blinking back tears. I'd been so angry with Wrath after our kiss, so devastated by his admission about what he was truly after, that I'd wanted to hurt him back. But never like this. Watching someone you know die, even if it's someone you shouldn't like, was no small thing. Then Envy's threat, the loss of my family. I didn't know how to proceed from here. I laid down and stared at the little lines in the ceiling, thinking they were like the small fissures that had cracked my life into a million little parts. Each line represented another path, another choice, another attempt to right the wrongs committed. I mentally retraced my steps over the last several weeks, trying to divine where I might have taken a wrong turn. When no wise answers were forthcoming, I gave up and rolled onto my side. The little dresser beside the bed had a bottle of Prosecco and two glasses. A small bowl of chocolate-covered orange slices was also there. I couldn't recall seeing either of them before, but Wrath might have brought in the treats while we were playing scopa. I didn't know what to make of that, so I banished those thoughts and popped the cork, watching the bubbles fizz and softly crackle as I filled my glass. If the world as I knew it was ending, I deserved a drink before I made a deal with the devil. I brought the glass to my lips and paused. Wrath had said to look in the dresser if I was bored. I wasn't bored, but I was intrigued. I set my glass down and pulled open the top drawer. A small gold ring, hammered into olive branches, sat on a bed of crushed velvet. It was simple, but beautiful. I picked it up and slipped it onto my forefinger. It fit perfectly. My heart twisted. I knew exactly why he'd left it for me. During ancient Roman times, an olive branch was given from an enemy as a gesture of peace. A tear slipped down my cheek as I thought back to him calling it a twig of truth. Wrath, likely surmising I didn't have much gold of my own, had given me the final piece I needed to summon him. He'd prepared for everything. Tactical to his very core. Feeling hopeful for the first time in what felt like ages, I set the candles up in a circle and lit them, placed freshly cut ferns and bones down, then began the summoning. I used a bit of my own blood in offering and fed the circle a few drops. By earth, blood, and bone, I invite thee. Come, enter this realm of man, join me. Bound in this circle until I send thee home. I knelt there, waiting for the telltale smoke of Wrath's arrival. Seconds passed. I kept my hope in check. Last time, seconds after the incantation was done, the first signs of his arrival had occurred. Maybe, since he was greatly injured, he needed a bigger offering. I squeezed a few more droplets of blood into the circle. Nothing happened. Come on, demon. I went over the ritual again, adjusting the ferns, bones, and candles until they formed a perfect circle. I set my ring inside the containment area, then dripped more blood. By earth, blood, and bone, I invite thee. Come, enter this realm of man. Join me, bound in this circle, until I send thee home. I left out the Latin again, seeing as last time it ended in an unplanned betrothal. And Wrath said it wasn't necessary. When all remained silent, I tried one final time and used the same incantation that would bind us together in unholy matrimony if Wrath accepted it. By earth, blood, and bone, I invite thee. Come, enter this realm of man, join me. Bound in this circle until I send thee home. Evitas legati in aeternus protego. A stiff breeze blew one of the candles out. I waited, breath held, for the mighty demon of war to rise. Immortal, furious, breathtaking. I braced myself for a lecture that was sure to come. Moments came and went, but there was no smoke or sign I'd summoned anything. I waited and waited. Birds began calling to each other outside. Morning wasn't far off. And the spell for Wrath could only be cast at night. Still, I tried again, hoping this time would do it. Eventually, the last of my hope was extinguished. Nonna said as long as he lived, Wrath would come. The fact that he didn't appear filled me with dread. I thought back to the very beginning, when I'd prayed to the goddess of death and fury, and couldn't help but wonder if she finally exacted the revenge I no longer wanted against him. I watched the candles flicker, wishing they'd set the bedding and whole palace on fire. It would only be fitting for the rest of my world to go up in flames. Wrath was really, truly gone. And with him, he'd taken the last of my hope. The Horn of Hades was in my possession, but I wasn't sure how to use it to close the gates of hell. My family had fled. Antonio was kidnapped by Envy. And my best friend's mind was still trapped between realms. Umbra demons had infiltrated the city, and I had no idea how to get rid of them all. I blew out the summoning candles. One by one. Until I was left completely in the dark. Chapter 45. By the time the sun spread its first rays across the sea, I was already dressed for battle. I stood in the mirror and finished braiding half my hair into a coronet and left the other half down in loose waves. I secured the upper portion with two large diamond-encrusted olive branch clips that, with the exception of the precious stones, matched my new ring. I dabbed my lips with wine-colored stain and swept coal across my lids. I stepped back and admired my work. I looked dangerous. My dress was a deep berry with capped sleeves made entirely from gold scales. It was dark enough to hide blood, but wasn't another all-black ensemble. I didn't mind the color. It just felt too much like mourning. And I was completely through with feeling sad. Wrath said I had a choice. I could either be a victim or a victor. And much as I was loath to admit it, he was right. Others would always be out there, trying to knock me down, to tell me who I was or who they thought I should be. People carved words into weapons often, but they only had power if I listened to them instead of trusting in myself. If my enemies wanted to create doubt in me, I'd believe in my own abilities even more. Even if I had to fake it until it felt real. I left the Ziza and headed deep into the heart of the city. I cut a swath around Old Town and headed to Balero Market, where food stands had been set up around the royal palace. I wasn't surprised to see the Nucci's already had a small gathering of people waiting for their arancini and penele. Both fried rice balls and fried salted chickpea pancakes were popular street food. Domenico Senior blotted his brow with a cloth and passed out a bag of food. I was happy to see him away from Greed's gambling den. It made one part of my plan easier. I watched as his line slowly thinned and people walked away with their bags of food. My stomach grumbled at the sight and smells, and I decided purchasing something was a good excuse to talk. I needed to eat anyway.
Buongiorno, Signorina Di Carlo. What would you like today?
Penele with extra lemon wedges, please. The elder Nucci fried the flat pancakes to perfection, hit them with some sea salt, then added them to a paper bag with an extra wedge of lemon. I handed my coins over and drifted to the side where his awning provided a bit of shade. How is Domenico Junior?
He in trouble?
I wasn't sure how to answer that. So I pulled one of Wrath's favorite tricks and ignored it. My sister had mentioned him, and I've heard he's been spending a lot of time at the monastery. It must be hard on him, losing someone he cared about. Domenico Senior's gaze drifted to the person standing behind me, before he passed out an order of arancini, and set another few into the fryer basket.
He's all right. He left for Calabria this morning to help his cousin.
I stopped chewing my penele. Of all times for Domenico Junior to leave home, it was odd that he chose now. I changed tactics. Have you spent any time in that gambling hall? I asked, hoping it wasn't too rude. I need to find it as soon as possible. He shook his head.
Afraid I can't help you. I heard the guy who runs it left.
Internally, I screamed and cursed the goddess of missed opportunities. I was about to leave, when I noticed a strange tattoo inked onto his forearm. a paw print, clutching what appeared to be a fennel stalk. My gaze fell to the side of his food cart. The same symbol was painted there. I'd been wrong. I'd never seen it in my sister's diary. I'd seen it the day Rath and I had tried to get close to investigate the murder of Giulia Santorini. My breath caught as it finally clicked into place. Signore Nucci was a shapeshifter. I swallowed hard and slowly dragged my attention up. Domenico Senior noticed me staring at his tattoo and hastily rolled his sleeve back down despite the heat of the day. His reaction set off warning bells. I thought back to my sister's diary. All it had said was Domenico Nucci. There had never been a mention of Junior or Senior. It's you, I said, dropping my bag of penne. Vittoria wrote your name in her diary. It's never been Domenico Junior. Did you hurt her? Did she find out what you are?
It's not. Don't shout those kind of accusations around. Give me a second.
Domenico flipped the stand sign to closed, a motion for me to follow him around the corner where there was less foot traffic. I didn't want to leave the crowds, and he seemed to know that. He stopped where we were still surrounded, but couldn't be overheard.
Your sister passed out drinks at Greed's gambling den.
My heart beat wildly. Finally, after all this time, I had another hint about what Vittoria had been up to right before she was killed. And? Did she know what you are? He nodded. Did you ever see her with Greed?
Yeah. She came to him one night with an idea. They were working on a plan they both felt comfortable with.
How did you get involved in all this? He didn't seem inclined to respond. So I pulled the knife I'd hidden in my bodice and let the sun glint off the blade. I'd learned a good many tricks from the Demon of War. One way or another, I will get my information, Signore. The choice is up to you on how we go about it.
All right, all right.
He swallowed hard and glanced around.
You know about the Binandante?
I nodded. Everyone did. Shapeshifters, in a sense. Their spirits change into animal forms to astral travel 4 times a year. They also fight in the night battles.
Well, that's what the Benandanti are. We're not them, but they have taken on our symbols, so we're often confused. We can physically shapeshift whenever we please. We're called Ember Wolves. The Benandanti are human, we are not. At least not entirely. Most would say we're werewolves.
Werewolves, I repeated. You physically change into a wolf. Domenico Senior nodded. I took a moment to recover. I had never heard of an Ember Wolf, but there were plenty of tales about werewolves. From old stories I'd been told, the wolves stuck with their pack and were loyal only to each other. I didn't understand how or why he'd associate with the demons. Why were you with Greed? His gaze dropped to the ground.
We made a bargain.
A memory of seeing him with stacks of gambling chips crossed my mind. I had a sinking suspicion I knew where this was going. Did he promise to forgive your debts if you helped him? He nodded.
I thought it was a fool's bargain for him. Then I found out it wasn't his idea to begin with. He said all he wanted was for the wolves to fight on the side of the devil when the time comes. We haven't shifted in nearly 2 decades, so I didn't think the bargain held value.
Why haven't you shifted? He lifted a shoulder.
No one is sure. One day we could, the next we couldn't.
But that changed recently, didn't it? I asked. Did someone shift forms?
When a boy celebrates his 20th year, he usually changes for the first time.
And I'd bet anything Domenico had a birthday recently, and was very surprised when he turned into a wolf. You didn't tell your son what you were. He slowly shook his head.
It had been so long. I didn't think it would happen. When Dom shifted, I knew we were in trouble. I told him what I'd promised.
He wiped a tear from his cheek.
The disappointment in my son's eyes was enough to end me. The shame I've brought to our legacy, our family. Wolves do not fight for anyone outside of our pack. Now Dom prays at the monastery for me and for himself, hoping everyone will forgive my sins.
How did my sister figure out what you are? He considered that a moment.
I'm not sure, but she was the one who told Greed to bargain with me. When the deal was struck, she made me promise to keep my word to him.
Vittoria set up the bargain between you and Greed? I asked, heart hammering. You're sure that was her idea and not his?
Positive, Signore Nucci said. It was part of her bigger plan. But she never told me what that was, so I'm afraid I cannot help you there. I was only told to be ready when they called on us.
I let out a slow breath. Vittoria had found a way to force two enemies to work together. A united front to fight the true enemy, which was still an unknown. I considered this new information carefully. My sister had believed in greed. I'd believed in wrath. And Envy was still the obvious murderer. Except, he hadn't bragged about ripping hearts from anyone's body. And he didn't have my amulet. Which meant our murderer could still be out there. Domenico isn't really on the mainland, is he?
No, Signore Nucci admitted, sniffling. He's at the monastery.
All roads kept leading back to the monastery, and I no longer believed in coincidences. My sister's body was found there. Claudia's scrying session went horribly wrong there. Domenico prayed there almost daily, but according to Claudia, he also spoke with members of the Brotherhood. I'd bet anything he may have confided his troubles to the wrong person, especially with how they acted the night I found Claudia. I bid Signore Nucci goodbye and hurried off to hunt down my next clue. Before Vittoria was murdered and my world went to hell, Nonna said there were witch hunters actively seeking prey on the island. I'd ruled them out after I'd summoned Wrath and found three other princes of hell roaming Earth. But maybe I'd been too hasty. If someone wanted to kill witches, the Holy Order was the perfect suspect. Who better to eradicate the world from evil than those ordained by God? I thought back to the night I'd found Claudia, to Brother Carmine, who'd had a murderous gleam in his eyes. He'd stepped forward, looking hungry for blood. I knew he despised witches, and he hadn't given one of his vitriolic speeches in the marketplace in years. I could only imagine how much he'd love to climb back onto his soapbox and spew more hatred. His open contempt for magic users made him a prime suspect for a witch hunter. Today, one way or another, I'd uncover the secrets the Holy Brotherhood were keeping. Chapter 46. A group of robed figures were gathered in the courtyard. Tension was as thick as the summer heat among the Brotherhood. One of their members was missing, and several young women were dead. I wasn't surprised they were blaming the devil. I hid near the edge of the main building, and my gaze swept around the crowd, searching for one member I knew I wouldn't find. Brother Carmine stood at the center, his hand punching the sky with each impassioned word that left his mouth. Apparently I'd arrived at the apex of his speech.
Our God is a mighty God, and will not tolerate an infestation of evil, he said. We must lead by his example in these dark and troubling times. The hour of judgment is upon us. We must stop the devil before he sows the seeds of his wicked ways. Come, let us speak the good word to our fellow man. Let us lead them into their salvation. Amen.
They all yelled in unison. The crowd disbanded toward the city, off to save human souls. I inched around the corner and released a tight breath. Brother Carmine wasn't talking about the devil breaking the curse, but what he said was a little alarming in its accuracy. For once, human souls really were in danger. My suspicion of him deepened. If a mysterious group of witch hunters had formed, it was very, very likely I'd just located them. I was contemplating whether or not I should follow him, when I felt the call of magic coming from within the monastery. It was just like the night I found Vittoria's body, if not more powerful. Maybe I was just better at sensing it now, or perhaps it had something to do with the full set of horns in my possession. I removed my sister's cornicello from where I'd hidden it in my dress and held it up. Even for a non-human witch, it seemed sacrilegious to wear the devil's horns into a holy space. But there was no way I'd go inside without protection. I slipped her cornicello on, along with the one I already wore, feeling a prickle of magic in my veins. Before I slipped inside, I cast one final look around. All was quiet now. The Brotherhood was gone. I crossed the small courtyard and pushed the door open. As I hurried past the mummies in an otherwise empty corridor, I felt something watching. I turned in place and scanned the hallway that used to cause my heart to speed and my hands to shake. This time, when my pulse raced, it wasn't because I was afraid of what I'd find. I wanted someone to try and attack me. Show yourself. Unlike in the novels Vittoria loved reading, no villain emerged with a dark chuckle to wax poetic over its master's evil plans. No one emerged at all. I was truly alone. I closed my eyes, grabbed the horn of Hades, breathed in deeply, and centered myself. When I looked down the seemingly empty corridor of the dead again, I heard faint whispers. They weren't of this world. I shut out everything else except the sound of hushed voices. I followed it, traveling deeper into the catacombs. I noted each turn a new hallway I entered, hoping I'd find my way back out again if I had to run. I'd never been this far into the monastery before. I didn't even know there were so many labyrinthine corridors that twisted and turned deep, deep into the center of the earth. As I continued on, silently, the hum of voices grew louder. My nerves tingled. Something magical was close, and it was powerful. Part of me wanted to ignore it and run, but too much was at stake. I pressed on, forcing myself to face my fears. Several minutes later, I stopped in a dank hallway, carved of limestone, with a lone torch set into a sconce. Light flickered menacingly, like an annoyed cat's tail. I didn't need the sign from the goddess to know something dangerous was close by. I couldn't tell if my stomach twisted in trepidation or anticipation. One way or another, something was about to happen. A door near the end of the hallway was slightly cracked open in invitation. I took the last few steps and paused beside it. It very well could be a trap, but the whispers had turned frantic now. I needed to see what was in there. I inched closer, pulse pounding, and pushed the door a bit wider. From the outside, the room looked empty. Looks were often deceiving. Before I entered it, I peered around just to be sure it wasn't a trap. Dust motes spun in circles. All was quiet. Illusions were deceptively easy magic, They often projected what you expected to find.
I should have known better.
Chapter 47. The moment I crossed the threshold, I knew I'd made a mistake. It felt as if the air was a band that snapped out and locked me in place. I pushed back toward the door, but it was no use. I'd stay in this room until whoever had set the containment spell decided to set me free. The whispers I'd been hearing turned to full-on chatter. There were so many voices, so many conversations, I could hardly hear my own thoughts.
It's here. She's arrived. Open the binding. Set her free.
I covered my ears and searched for any possible escape or means to break the spell. I wanted the noise to stop. Now! The glamour abruptly dropped away, as if attuned to my desires. My gaze swept around the true version of the room. The walls were covered in Latin. Lines and lines of it. Some in larger script, some smaller, filled every inch of the walls, from floor to ceiling. Someone had been very busy. I'd never seen magic used like that before. The letters softly glowed and pulsated, like they were part of a living, breathing entity. I wanted to sink to my knees. A spell that powerful wouldn't be easily broken. But I wouldn't give up just yet. I searched for signs of an ambush. I was alone, except for a book. My heartbeat slowed. This had to be the it Vittoria described in her diary. When I set my attention on the book, the voices started again, softer, more enticing. I tentatively dropped my hands from my ears. I could hardly breathe. This was the secret my sister died to keep. I knew it deep down in my bones. A single shaft of light illuminated the old leather-bound tome, lying closed on a pedestal carved from a solid chunk of obsidian. I'd never seen a gemstone that large before, and cautiously moved forward until I stood over the mysterious book. The voices quieted. A triple moon symbol molded from pewter adorned the cover, but there was no title to indicate what it contained. It was definitely magical, given how much power emanated from its pages. Soft lavender light surrounded it. It reminded me of the Luchicare I saw around humans, and was the same shade of purple as my tattoo. I didn't know what it meant, but I had a very good idea of what it was. The first book of spells. Impossibly, Vittoria had found La Prima's grimoire. It was so plain, so simple. And yet, it had cost my sisters so much. I suddenly wanted to burn it. It was no larger than any other old book, but the power was unlike anything I'd ever felt. The cover was worn in places, where it looked like it had been opened and closed a million times. Like the night I found my sister's body, there was a silent, insistent tug in my center. This time, it begged me to open the book, to glimpse the spells I felt spilling from it. I slowly reached over and flipped it open to a place that had been marked with a ribbon. Familiar black paper with gold roots edged around the sides greeted me. I scanned the page. It was a summoning for the morning star. I shut the book and stepped away. Someone had summoned the devil, or wanted to. I took a few steady breaths, mind racing. This was the mysterious grimoire my sister had torn pages from. Somehow, her magic led her to the first book of spells, and then she'd removed spells to summon demons. I knew for a fact she hadn't snuck this text into our tiny room. I would have felt it the moment it entered our home, and so would Nonna, which meant Vittoria must have stashed it away here. But why would she think it'd be safe within the Brotherhood's walls? There was a connection. I just had to think.
At last.
I jumped back as a hooded figure stepped into the room and reached for my blessed chalk. This had to be the person the messenger had sold his secrets to. I bet it was Brother Carmine. How ironic that a witch hunter set a trap using magic. The figure tugged the cowl back, and I froze, ready for the witch-hating brother to attack. Instead, Antonio moved more quickly than I thought possible, and knocked the chalk out of my hands like it might grow talons and hurt me. I watched it shatter on the ground, then snapped into reality. Relief flooded my system. Antonio, you're alive, I thought. I dragged my gaze up and noticed the expression on his face. Concern wasn't present. It was hatred. My heart pounded as I took a step back. What happened? Did envy hurt you?
An angel of God would never hurt me.
His lips pulled into a smile that was far from the sweet, shy ones I remembered.
Unlike you.
I could barely breathe as everything fell into place. Envy didn't hurt him or hold him captive. Quite the contrary. Antonio had willingly delivered Claudia straight into my enemy's hands. He'd known she was a witch, and it's you. You killed my sister. My voice trembled. Why?
Is it really that hard to believe? That I, a man of God, would wish to rid the world of evil?
You sound just like Carmine. I curled my hands into fists, needing to feel the prick of my nails to keep from lashing out. Murdering innocent women isn't its own act of evil?
God's finest angels are fierce warriors, Emilia. Sometimes, in order to accomplish the greatest good, we must first become a blade of justice and carve through our enemies. You wouldn't understand. It's not something you'd be capable of doing, witch.
What little control I'd managed to hang on to left me. You know nothing of what I can do.
Maybe not, but if you use magic on me now, you'll prove me right.
He jerked his chin toward my combined amulets. They were fiercely glowing.
All witches are born evil.
My temper and hurt raged around. I stepped forward and unleashed the pent-up wrath I'd been clutching onto since my twin's murder. You're wrong. We're not born evil. Some of us become that way. Through hate. Strands of my hair lifted as if there was suddenly a breeze. A storm was brewing, and it wasn't of this world. The glowing words that surrounded us pulsed faster. Magic singed the air, and incantations I didn't know swirled through my mind. Maybe the devil's horns were fueling me, or the first book of spells was feeding me its charms. Perhaps it was simply my own darkness escaping. I didn't care. I held the horn of Hades and whispered a spell so foul, the words burned as they left my lips. I lifted my arm, then slashed down in an arc. Invisible claws cut Antonio's robes to ribbons. This time, I spared his flesh. Fear entered his eyes. He slowly backed away, hands up, as if that would stop me. Frightened, I stepped toward him.
You should be. I've only just begun.
I lifted my arm, and he cringed away. His voice quivered.
Mercy, Emilia. Please.
Now you want my mercy.
Pure white-hot anger burned in my soul.
Tell me, did my sister beg? I thought of her chest, the gaping hole where her heart had been. He did that to her. Our friend. I threw my arm back and slashed his chest open. An eye for an eye. Justice. He pressed his fingers to his wound, saw blood, and stumbled away. There was nothing more than a scratch. Fury propelled me forward. Did you offer Vittoria mercy when she pleaded for her life? Or Valentina? How many women pleaded with you to spare them? Where was your mercy then? He fell to his knees and began praying. I waited. But God didn't show up. The goddess of death and fury did. I knelt down, eyes blazing, and forced him to look at me. I wanted him to see my sister's face too. Tears slipped down his cheeks. I fought the urge to smash his skull against the floor and watch the life leave those hate-filled eyes. Death would be a kindness, and I wasn't feeling particularly kind. When I finally kill you, you will beg for the sweet release of death, Antonio. I glanced at my finger, concentrated on an invisible blade pricking it. A tiny ruby of blood beaded up. I swear on my blood, you will never know true happiness again. Your heart will be cursed to be broken each time you forget the sins you've committed. And each time you laugh, I will be there, waiting to remind you. I was about to seal the vow with a drop of blood when the scent of urine filled the space around us, awakening a memory in me. I'd scared the piss out of Antonio, just like Wrath had done when he'd beaten information from... I startled back and let my hand fall to my side. Wrath, a prince of hell, had shown mercy. Knowing the sort of power he had, I don't know how he'd managed restraint. And I wished I could be a little more like him now. But I wasn't. New rules. You will tell me the truth about everything I ask, and only then will I consider sparing your life. Do you understand?
Yes.
He nodded several times and inhaled deeply.
What do you want to know?
Before you met this angel of death, something must have prompted this. Tell me what grew so twisted inside you. So foul.
I'm not...
He shook his head.
All right. A week before my mother died, I took her to a woman I thought only used folk magic and prayer to heal. Turned out she was a witch.
His laugh was hollow. I gave him a flat look, and he choked it off.
She caused my mother's death. I vowed right then to make amends to God. I promised if I ever met another witch, I'd send her straight to the dungeons of hell where she belongs. That's when my prayers were answered.
How?
An angel came to me shortly after, telling me about the devil's curse. He said in order to break it, the devil needed to marry a witch. The angel told me that couldn't happen, or else the devil would be set free. He said he'd provide the names of potential brides, and all I had to do to save us from true evil was kill witches.
My gaze strayed to the first book of spells. I thought about my sister again. Did this angel give you my sister's name? His gaze dropped to the floor.
Your sister's death was... I didn't want to. I even asked the angel to spare her. But he said leaving one seed of evil would cause more to grow. I fought it for a little while.
I even argued that she wasn't a witch. He was mistaken. Then she... He refused to meet my eyes. Then she started talking about summoning the devil that night in the monastery, and I couldn't deny the truth. She had to be stopped.
I held back my fury. Vittoria always joked about summoning the devil or hexing someone, or other silly things she'd say in front of humans. They normally laughed, thinking she was kidding. I'd worried one day someone might start questioning her. I never thought it would be someone close to us. You betrayed her. Me.
And you didn't do the same to me?
He asked, his voice turning momentarily sharp before he caught himself.
You cast a spell to make me fall in love with you. You lied to my face every day, hiding the truth of what you are.
Despite my earlier show of power, his face contorted with rage.
You belong in hell with the other cursed and damned souls. You're not even human. You disgust me.
I have never used a spell on you for love.
Can you honestly say, before tonight, that you've never used magic on me without my consent? Are you an exception to the rule?
Of course I haven't. I closed my mouth. I'd used a forbidden truth spell on him when we were children. I'd violated his free will. What I'd done was wrong, but it didn't give him the right to murder women in retribution. How are you planning on stopping the devil from finding a witch in a different city?
By summoning him.
You, a man of God, doing the work of supposed angels, want to summon the devil?
Oh, I don't want to do it, Emilia. But I'll do what has to be done. I want him to watch as I destroy his horns.
My hand went to my amulet. How did
I know you're wearing the actual horns of the devil? He mocked. My angel of death. You see, first we'd destroy every living witch. Then we'd summon the devil and put a blade through him.
What was this angel's name? Antonio lifted a shoulder.
He wouldn't tell me, but there was something powerful about him. I knew he wasn't lying. Only something heaven sent could inspire that much glory.
Whether Antonio knew it or not, I'd bet my soul he'd been influenced by a prince of hell. And I think I knew exactly who had orchestrated it all. Envy. The traitor demon. I just needed proof, and then I'd destroy him. How do the hearts factor in? He gave me an odd look.
Hearts? Like he didn't know.
Clearly his cooperation was ending. Or maybe there were parts of his beastly acts he couldn't face. I stopped paying attention to Antonio, and started thinking about my next move. I thought about my sister, about her plan to summon the devil.
She wanted to bargain with him.
Maybe she knew Envy, or some other prince of hell, had been nudging the hands of fate, and that the only way to stop him was to help Pride break the curse. Which would explain why she wanted the werewolves and Greed to team up. Whatever her reasons, she thought her best course of action was to go to the underworld. Antonio might be the instrument of death. He might have chosen to commit these atrocious acts, but he hadn't acted alone. Now I wanted to find out who else had helped kill my sister. An idea, wild and mad, formed in my head. If Antonio actually managed to summon the devil now, I could use it to my advantage. My sister believed that ruling in hell was her best choice. Maybe it was mine, too. If you're going to summon the devil, why wait?
You're going to summon him.
Antonia smiled.
And I'm going to kill him when you do.
I'd like to see him try. I pointed to the half-finished summoning circle and gripped the amulets in my hand. Light the candles. He did as I asked and quickly finished setting up the circle. Instead of using animal bones, he placed flowering wolfsbane between each candle. I stared at the helmet-shaped deep purple and blue petals. It was not at all what I think one would use to summon pride. When the last piece of wolfsbane was in place, he stepped back and murmured an invitation for me to repeat in Latin. His angel had taught him well. Like the time I summoned Raph, smoke filled the circle. Lightning whipped around, the atmosphere crackling like we were stuck in the midst of a terrible storm. I expected to see a beautiful man standing before us. I did not expect to see Antonio. His eyes were pools of silvery blue, the only indication he was not the young man who'd grown up next door. He glanced around, his movements not quite natural. I held my ground as he looked me over. Pride had taken possession of Antonio's body. Before I could force my expression into a mask of boredom, he stepped closer. My breath hitched. His attention lingered on the diamond-encrusted clips in my hair.
I have a gift for you, Stelle Strega.
His voice was beautiful. After what I'd recently learned about good and evil, I don't know why I expected it to be multitonal and screeching. And what will this gift cost me? His smile was anything but tender.
Only your soul, of course.
I smiled back at him, my new groom. He had no idea a storm would soon be approaching hell. You have my attention, Pride. Impress me. He ran his gaze over me slowly and snapped his fingers. A charge of magic filled the air. Something crackled, and a gown appeared. It hung from an invisible source, skirts fluttering. The top was a metal corset, covered entirely with thorny vines. Layers of black panels gathered at the hips, and flowed to the ground in frothy midnight waves. Every other layer had tiny smoky gems sewn into it, reminding me of crushed hematite. Glittering black snakes twined together in intricate knots at the waist like a belt. I'd expect nothing less dramatic for the future queen of hell. I was pleased my plan was working, and also terrified. There was no turning back now. The gown swayed and twirled on its own, as if worn by some invisible being, sweeping closer and closer to where I remained motionless. It brushed against me and rushed around my body, spinning wildly until I squeezed my eyes shut. I didn't like how it reminded me of Lust's invisible party. In fact, I hated it. Everything stopped at once. I glanced down. Startled to see my berry-colored dress was gone, and in its place, the dark beauty hugged my curves. I gasped as it squeezed me tighter. The devil inclined his head.
All hail the new consort.
My heart pounded. I haven't received a crown yet.
Oh, but you will.
From thin air, he yanked out a dagger with a roaring lion's head and aimed it at his, Antonio's, heart.
I've heard of the vengeance you seek. Accept this human sacrifice as a gift from House Pride, Your Highness.
No! A singular word came out in a strange, multitonal voice that was at once mine and completely foreign. The blade hovered against Antonio's skin, but didn't pierce it. I drew in a shaky breath. I will meet you, or your representative, in an hour in the cavern where I first summoned Wrath. I have something I need to do before I give you my final answer. The devil's focus shifted to mine.
Done.
Somnus, I whispered, putting Antonio's body in an enchanted sleep. If anyone exacted revenge on him, it would be my hand that dealt his punishment. Heart hammering, I glanced toward the first book of spells. I'd wanted a few minutes to read it over and glean any last-minute magic before hiding it from the wicket. But it was gone. No matter. I'd make do in other ways. Without a backward glance, I left the chamber wearing the devil's horns and my sinister new dress, feeling my pulse quicken with each step. Before the night was through, I'd strike a deal with Pride that would hopefully be his realm's undoing. I silently vowed to my sister that I wouldn't rest until all those responsible for her death met their end. Chapter 48. The devil didn't arrive on the back of a fire-breathing steed or in the midst of a violent storm. In fact, it wasn't the king of demons who came for me at all. Wrath stepped into the flickering light, looking ice cold and dangerous. I unconsciously moved toward him, then froze. A low growl swept through the cave. It didn't come from him, but some animal hidden deep within the shadows. A warning from a goddess, no doubt. Something was very wrong. I inspected Wrath from a safe distance. There wasn't anything familiar about this demon. This creature left little doubt as to where he ruled. He was the most wicked of the Malvagi. A traitorous part of me was relieved he was alive. Even though I knew he was immortal, I hadn't fully believed he'd lived through Envy's brutal attack. Another, wiser part of me reeled with denial that he was the one who'd come to collect my soul. Betrayal burned inside me. I don't know why I expected anything else from a despicable prince of hell. Angry tears stung my eyes. Norna had been right about everything. The wicked were skilled liars. Wrath had certainly fooled me with his act. He made me think he was dead, and that he'd cared. It must have greatly amused him, watching me fall under his spell. A naive, lonely witch who'd be desperate enough to seek help from her mortal enemy. And our kiss. I thought I'd felt passion, heat. Another illusion cast by my enemy. I fought a chill as he ran his gaze over me. Where it once burned with intensity, it was now frosted over. It was impossible to discern any of his thoughts. If I was to be his queen, he didn't seem impressed. I desperately wanted to believe this was the act, that he wasn't truly this cold and cruel. He said nothing, and expressed even less. Envy, greed, and lust seemed downright human compared to this alien before me. He wore a suit befitting his royal station, hands casually tucked into his pockets. A black crown with ruby-tipped thorns sat upon his head. If turned upside down, it would appear to be dripping blood. His clothing was layered charcoal and obsidian with gold stitching, silk and velvet. If I didn't look too closely, he appeared more angel than dark prince. My chin inched higher, giving him a clear view of the amulets around my neck. Demon.
Witch.
I thought you were dead.
Sorry to disappoint you. His attention flicked to the containment circle where Antonio floated in a sort of suspended animation.
Shadows along the ceiling grew talons. I could almost hear the rough scrape of their nails against stone. Wrath's expression remained blank, but I imagined he didn't expect to find a human magically imprisoned. I didn't bother hiding my taunting smile. Let him see what I could do. He turned a flat look on me.
Are you ready to sell your soul?
I stared a moment, taking in this version of him. I hadn't realized how often wrath gazed upon me with blazing fire until it had been replaced with icy indifference. Whoever stood before me now wasn't the same demon I thought I'd known. I wanted to step away from him, to run.
Well?
His tone was clipped. There was victory in his demon's gaze. No frustration or flash of desire or hard-won respect. I was a means to an end. Another potential witch queen to add to the list of those who'd been slaughtered before ever walking down the aisle. I tried not to think about my own uncertain fate. Even if it boiled down to living out of spite, I vowed to survive no matter who or what came for my heart. I had little doubt my life was in jeopardy. Wrath had told me the monsters would come for me, and that I believed. One stood before me now.
Have you decided?
Almost. He appraised me, a small frown forming. Maybe he was disappointed I wasn't cowed by his royal presence and authority. I refused to pretend I understood anything of what he felt or desired. I wasn't foolish enough to think he'd fallen in love with me. But I could have sworn we'd both shifted from cool animosity to something a bit warmer. I clutched the horn of Hades as I considered my dwindling options. The slight buzz of magic was comforting, like a hug from my grandmother. If I stayed, the gates of hell would weaken and open, destroying everything I held dear. I'd already encountered Umbra and Appa demons, the snake-like Viperidae, and four of the terrifying seven princes of hell. I was lucky I'd escaped with my life, and I was harder to kill than most. The human world wasn't equipped to deal with the carnage that hordes of demons would bring if the gates opened. I imagined Nonna wearing another ruby-red necklace of blood, her eyes milky and lifeless. I saw visions of my mother and father slaughtered in our restaurant. Every innocent human in our city, lying in rotting heaps, stinking in the blazing sun. I'd already lost my sister. I wouldn't lose anyone else. I agree. Under two conditions. A new spark lit his gaze. Along with anger, intelligence and cunning gleamed out at me.
Very well. Let's hear your counteroffer.
I was proud of how my voice didn't waver. From this point forward, no other witch will be hunted, no human attacked. I want every prince of hell to stay out of this world. And Antonio will be my prisoner to do with as I see fit. Otherwise, I will not join myself with House Pride.
Spoken like a true princess of hell.
His smile was razor sharp. He seemed smug, like he knew a secret.
Are you certain this is what you want? This is what you choose?
I nodded. Wrath stared a moment too long, like he was trying to incinerate me on the spot.
Done.
A scroll materialized along with a raven's quill, the point more blade than pen. When no pot of ink appeared, I immediately realized why. My heart thudded wildly. If I didn't run now, there would be no undoing this. Some bonds could never be broken. I carefully read over the parchment. Emilia Maria de Carlo willingly agrees to join herself with House Pride. To sell your soul, sign here. It was simple enough. Not much in the way of trickery, which worried me more. Selling a soul shouldn't be so easy. I had a more difficult time haggling with vendors in the marketplace over clothing. Part of me wanted to laugh, but there was little humor to be found in this cavern. Before I could run screaming, I pricked my finger and signed my soul away in blood, the magic binding me to the devil for eternity. Once I finished, the scroll disappeared in a wisp of smoke. I stared until the scent of sulfur dissipated, fighting a growing wave of panic. "Anything else?" I asked, as a strange tingling sensation fell around me like a cloak. Wrath nodded to my two amulets. Of course, the devil wanted his horns back. I yanked them from my neck and dropped them on the cavern floor, their absence already a strange sort of torture. They vanished. I took a deep breath. I no longer needed to worry about hiding from the Malvagi. The wicked had found me. But that was all right. I'd found them, too. And I hoped they'd rue the day they came for me and mine. Soon, I'd be deep within their realm and would be perfectly positioned to uncover the true players behind the murders and what they were really after. Then I would set about destroying them, if they didn't kill me first. I brushed past Wrath, walked to the lip of the cave, and glanced down. It might be the last time I saw this world, and I wanted to memorize it. An angry swell crashed against the rocks, spraying upward in harsh whispers. I stared out at the ink-colored waves, trying to calm my racing pulse. They looked like silver blades flashing in the moonlight. Nonna would claim it was a sign of treacherous things to come. This time, I couldn't disagree. The ground suddenly trembled, pebbles scattered, bats flew out of the cave. I braced myself against the unexpected surge of magic, fearing the cavern would collapse. I spun around, focus darting to Antonio, or where he'd once been. Vittoria's murderer was gone. In his place, Wrath's power whipped around like the tail of a mighty serpent. He smiled, a quick flash of teeth. We were no longer bound together, and his power was overwhelming, infinite. I refused to let my fear show. The demon's grin vanished, and he silently held out a hand. "Will you come with me?" I knew he was only asking politely because of the demonic etiquette. I didn't want to agree. I didn't want to ever touch him again. But I knew I couldn't find my way into the underworld without his dark magic. "Yes." I wrapped my fingers around his before my emotions betrayed me. There was crackling power in our connection. Tiny currents sparked over our skin. Before I could think about it, smoke enveloped us. Searing pain followed. It felt like my entire body was burning. I choked on a scream. Wrath's fingers tightened on mine. There was no earth, no connection to the natural world, nothing tangible except my grip on the prince I now hated more than the rest combined. The pain lasted only a moment before a new sensation stoked even greater fear. We stood on solid ground again. Which meant, goddess above, I could hardly breathe. I wanted to squeeze my eyes shut forever. Instead, I stared straight ahead, pulled my shoulders back, and waited for the smoke to clear. I hoped the kingdom of the wicked was ready for a vengeful queen. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Kingdom of the Wicked by Kerry Maniscalco, read by Marisa Carlin, produced by Elise Green, directed and recorded by Michelle Figueroa, post-production by Gabino Reyes. Text copyright 2020, Carrie Maniscalco. Audio production copyright 2020, Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. For more information about this and all of our unabridged audiobooks, please visit www.todder.co.uk. As above, so below.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.